Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey, Rohit. Hope is going well. I think one of the things we wanted to talk about this time as Christmas approaches is how festivities pick up in different cultures. One of the things I wanted to flag to our listeners is there's a store in the UK called John Lewis, which is kind of the epitome of all things English. It provides a very decent level of service. There is a premium that you pay for the service. And of the last 5 to 7 years, the way Christmas has been triggered in this country is by a John Lewis ad. And I would encourage all our listeners to go and look at the recent John Lewis ad, which launches Christmas 2018, which is basically a flashback to Elton John's life, which starts from his present to going back to his childhood when he was presented a piano by his mother and grandmother. And the strapline for the ad is not all presents are just presents or something like that, which is some presents just mean much more than just presents or something like that. And it's kind of overlaid with sentimentality. So this whole kind of act of consumption and buying and going over the top is overlaid with sentimentality. And the reason I wanted to pick up on that, Rohit, in discussion with ourselves, amongst ourselves, was to try two things. First, to see whether Indian festivals, whether it's Onam, Diwali, Durga Puja, Ganesh Chaturthi, all of these festivals, Christmas, Eid, all of these festivals, whether they are being commercialized by marketing organizations to kind of promote needless amounts of consumption. That's number one. And the second thing that I wanted to digress into was talking about a flagship Indian store, which kind of caters to kind of a wholesome set of values around, when you buy from us, you'll get a fair deal, good stylized products, et cetera, et cetera. So let's pick up on the first thing. What are your views, Rohit, on the commercialization of festivities around India? Do you think it's prevalent? It's on the wane? What's your read?
So there obviously, has been this commercialization. But I think the way in which it comes out is, that in the equivalent of Amazon's Black Friday deals, which are going to be coming up this week for Thanksgiving, so you'll have, some Diwali special on Flipkart or something like that, right? And it will be that everything that's sold on Flipkart will be, 40% off, or, you can get a phone at some amazing rate. Then there are sort of your local specials, right? That your local Honda dealer will give you, some special kind of incentive, and they'll cover your insurance for 3 years. And, and I know my parents, for instance, when they bought a car a few years ago, they got some deal, or 0% interest on the refrigerator or something like that, which I think is pretty standard in America also, and I think it's pretty standard in the UK too. But this, to me, what's very interesting here is this notion of a kind of store which has capitalized very well on a kind of pan-English identity. And it's, of course, just sentimentalized, nostalgic version of English identity. The social scientist / academic in me can go on and analyze the politics of that. But the question is, from a marketing and branding point of view, I'm surprised that no single Indian store or chain has done that, right? So you have a supermarket like Apna Bazaar or whatever, a Big Bazaar, which is the Reliance run thing. But that is, that is sort of widespread. It just is a grocery provisions kind of store which sells everything. But I'm thinking, you have this sort of, emerging and ever-expanding sort of professional class in India. The middle classes, if you want to call them that, they're in relative terms, they're elites. But you have this sort of subsection of a population that has a good amount of disposable income. So why isn't there this market for really, high-quality fabrics? India produces wonderful fabrics. Every, you go to any store out here and the best cotton shirts are made in India. So why don't we have something that is the equivalent of John Lewis in India?
I think you make a very valid point, Rohit. I think one of the things that we are learning in kind of our roadmap to consuming like other industrialized nations, because I think family consumption or individual consumption through the 60s, 70s, and 80s was because of a combination of where the country was and the economic strength of our consumption, it was frowned upon. So you had to be very careful about how you bought stuff and how you consumed it and what you put on display. And, you know, wearing a too clean a shirt was often seen as a sign of ostentatiousness. You know, I'm kind of exaggerating for effect. But the underlying point that I want to make is the act of consuming clothes and things that are above the kind of baseline on Maslow's hierarchy, which is basically when you start thinking beyond roti, kapda, makan, we are very relatively new to the game. So the level of sophistication that exists in a more industrialized nation is probably something that we are picking up on. That said, I think you raise a very valid point that what is stopping a Shopper Stop or a Pantaloon or a Big Bazaar from, you know, whatever the store is, and we're not shouting out specific brands because, you know, we are getting paid by them. It just three things that come to mind. What is it that stops them from talking about an inherent Indian value of consuming? That is not, or maybe the only inherent Indian value around consuming is price. You know, you flog it low and pile it high. So basically there's a saying that you pile it high and flog it low, which is you keep a huge number of stuff, stock a huge number of goods, and flog it at a low price. Maybe that is the only thing that's holding the Indian consumption aesthetic together, which is we are very price sensitive. That could be one thing, but I can't see a narrative being built around a shopping mall or a store where India goes to shop, because I think apart from Mother Diary, which I've never advertised, incidentally, there isn't kind of an Indian store, and I think Spencer in certain parts of the country, which gives a vibe that, you know, you've got a standardized experience and a set of standard values that underpin what we do for a living. That is not just selling stuff for tea, is my view.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on. I mean, you know, you're an expert on branding, and you've actually worked on, you know, in terms of sort of messaging, branding, you know, marketing and strategy for many years across, you know, for-profit and non-profit sectors. You know, I just share this. You're spot on about price, because I had two recent conversations with, you know, two friends who work in very different areas. And one of them is, you know, one is an entrepreneur who now, you know, he had an initiative which he ran on digital sort of media initiative. And he said it's very, very hard to make money in digital anyways, but it's especially hard to make money in India. And right. There's a whole sort of, you know, this is a problem that I think bedevils even the big players like Netflix and all, which is that a lot of, like, nobody in India really wants to pay. It's, you know, it's a bit of a stereotype and a bit of a generalization, but it's kind of true. People just want stuff free. And, you know, the other is software, where a guy was basically explaining the kind of business model, saying that, you know, you have an Infosys or a Wipro or whatever, or a TCS, or a Hindustan Computers Limited, when they have an outsourcing gig, they, you know, or they're doing some like subcontracting gig rather, not outsourcing out here. So they get a guy and they pay him like 60,000 or 70,000, and they're essentially billing him out at 120K. And, you know, they're keeping his living costs down or whatever by, you know, just making him stay in some hostel and providing some kind of, you know, subsidized food or whatever. So that's another 5-10 grand. So he said, you look at the profit margins, they're like insane. Whereas he said in India, getting like a 4% profit margin is very, very hard. It's also that, you know, in terms of expectation, I think people like the thrill of the hunt. Now, this is something that's not unique to India. So this store called JCPenney, which, you know, is like many stores because of online shopping, it's on the verge of going bankrupt. What they said is that they are going to just have a flat price, which is the true price. But it turns out that psychologically people didn't like it. What they prefer is, they prefer going and seeing something which says $99 slashed down to $75. That was never meant to be sold at $99. So Macy's is a store that specializes in it. Every day is a sale. Harvest sale, President sale, bad weather sale, good weather sale. Because people want this psychological belief of discount mil raha. And I have a feeling that, you know, in India, that, you know, till you like fight with that, अरे भैया बहुत लूट रहे हो, एंड देन यू नो यू वॉक अवे, एंड अरे मैडम कहाँ जा रहे हैं, वापस आइए ना, अरे अरे मैडम आप नाराज हैं, मैडम बात कीजिए. सो यू नो दैट, एंड दैट्स एग्जैक्टली आई थिंक, आई डोंट नो, आई मीन इज इट लाइक सम सोशल रिचुअल व्हिच इज लाइक अ फिक्स दैट पीपल वांट. But to me, I'll just mention a couple of other things and then you share your thoughts with it. That, you know, I've, like, sometimes, you know, when I go back, the only thing I really buy are, you know, I'll buy, like, kurtas, because you are a Nehru jacket, not a Modi jacket, a Nehru jacket, which you don't get here. And, you know, I'd like to get a bangala stitched, but I've just been, like, too lazy to get that done. But if you know, there's a shirt, for instance, or a pair of trousers. First of all, you go into a Levi's showroom, let's say on Colaba Causeway. In a small room that is, like, you know, whatever, 15 by 12 feet, there's, like, seven people. They're following you around. And, you know, they just have one standard length, so, which is whatever, 30, everything is 32 inches in length or whatever. And you don't have any variation, then you have to get it altered. You know, so the to me, it's very interesting about why this you know, this is sort of not evolved. That there was a bit of a moment when this happened post-liberalization, but it's not really evolved in the same way that you mentioned.
I think you make a very interesting point. Maybe we need to come back to it. So one is this idea of, you know, how we consume and how we consume articles that are beyond the basic level of sustenance, which once you've got your roti kapda makan in place, because it's completely, it's befuddling that there is a small luxury market growing in India, which is phenomenal. So people flying private jets, people spending a lot of money on writing instruments, watches, cars. So there's this kind of ostentatious consumption that happens. That is, the bulk of the consumption pyramid, as you look top down, it seems it's very price driven, value driven. There's nothing wrong with that, but it just in trying to access the market, you have to be really careful about how you play your hand. Now, service in India is a completely different ballgame, because most of us have come into our consuming rights through some kind of a hybrid of government filter and kind of low-cost private services, right? So the idea of getting service on time, on price, or getting service with a smile is complete. Most of the people who, look, this is at a different extreme from what you guys get in America, which is everybody's your best friend at a store. And you know that they're just basically trying to hustle you. But in India, there is something to be said for that false friendship. That, you know, when you're parting with $300 for a pair of jeans, you want that false smile. In India, the same thing will happen. You will end up spending that amount of money, but it will be basically somebody who's utterly resentful that he or she is having to serve you in the way that the dynamic is set up. I don't know. The whole kind of service mentality in India, both as a service deliverer and a service recipient, there's a lot of questions that come to mind. I don't have an easy answer, Rohit. I completely get the problematic, which is you walk into a store and there are like seven underemployed, underqualified people.
Or disguised employment, right?
Yeah, disguised, exactly. You know, so people floating around, if you take five of them out of the equation, nothing will change in terms of the service that you get. But, you know, at the same time, these are the kind of theaters of consumption. Maybe the expectation in India is that if you're going to buy a pair of jeans, you won't have to have somebody hovering around you for half an hour as you go through the motions, because that is what you're paying for. It's almost like service means that you'll have somebody kind of peering over your shoulder as you breathe. And short of walking into the changing room and taking your pants off for you, I don't know, maybe that is what service is. And I think needs to change.
You're absolutely right. But the flip side of it is, you know, it's also this business of, like, I mean, you know, people just have, I don't know, I don't want to, like, get into the worst kind of Orientalist stereotypes about Orientalist sloth and indolence, but, you know, there was a shop that sold, Chawla Sports Goods or something near Xavier's. It sold sporting equipment. And I just wanted to pick up, you know, this is shortly after I moved to the US, so 15, 17 years ago. I wanted to pick up, like, a t-shirt for the Indian cricket team. And I know they sold it, and I went into the shop, I can see the shirt there, and the employee's like, "Are aap baad mein aao, ya nahi hai." I said, "Boss, I can see the blue of the t-shirts behind you. Tumhare peeche hai. It's right behind you." And, you know, I realized that the thing is that this was a company that also did some exports, and I think they maybe, like, sold to bulk in other shops, but this guy wasn't the owner, he was an employee. There was probably zero incentive for him to sell. Now, I should say that, you know, there have been some other stores, like there's some other stores one goes to, and you know, the service is very good out there. I should also mention that on the clothing issue, that for women's clothes, especially women's non-Western clothes, women's sort of Indian-themed clothes, there's much more happening. It's men's clothes where, like, you know, the options are very limited. Like, you went from Fashion Street and then there was, you know, Zodiac shirts or Van Heusen shirts, and that was about it. And, you know, trousers you were supposed to get stitched or whatever. Now, the other thing is, and I have a friend in Calcutta who had the same experience. He said he walked into a store and, you know, like, the first thing the guy asks him is ki chai. And he said that, like, you know what you're selling. You know why the F I'm here, man. I mean, why am I going to step into a store that's selling kurtas and ask for, like, a burger, right? So, obviously, I want a kurta if I'm coming into a kurta store. So he said, why are you asking me what do you want? I mean, do you think I'm going to come here to buy a car? So, I think my friend gave him some, like, brusque kind of answer and was very annoyed. So, there's this, you know, sort of lack of kind of initiative. And sometimes that's kind of romanticized as, you know, I have, like, a bunch of academic friends who kind of will, you know, come up with, I think, romantic interpretations of it as, like, resistance to capitalism and, you know, the weapons of the weak or whatever. That in their own ways, by being inefficient, these guys are actually subverting global capitalism. But, you know, I'm here. I'm willing to spend money. You're making a profit. I don't know if these are guys who are paid on a flat rate. And then finally, in that, you know, Levi's example, you're right, that breathing over your neck is service. But if those people are paid on commission, what happens sometimes is they get very surly if you don't buy anything, you know. And right. My point is, you can't, like, hold me hostage. So, anyway, again, like, you know, a bit of a ramble.
I think what we are doing is we are at the gateway of a broader set of conversations around buying clothes and buying stuff for men of a particular age. Which is not something that's talked about, because I'm sure there are forums there. And we'd be very interested in kind of exploring these sets of ideas, whether you're buying a watch, a pen, or a car, or clothes. Obviously, the things that men use, aftershave, shaving products, cosmetic products, which is a moving market. We kind of felt, I think we're at the precipice of... I don't think the precipice is the right word, but we are on the edge of trying to broaden our conversations into how people consume. We started off talking about John Lewis adverts and whether there is a store that occupies the Indian imagination in that fashion. And I think perhaps we can go forward, start talking about how these different acts of consumption have changed, whether it's buying a car, whether it's buying clothes. It's something definitely worth coming back to, and we'll probably do that. So let's wrap up on this story, because we've riffed on this for a fair amount. Unless you've got some comments to wrap this up.
No. I think we've been for a long time, and don't want to, like, try our listeners' patience. But if listeners, you have any suggestions about, you know, specific or your own experiences, or about topics that we should cover under this very broad umbrella, please do write in, and we'll be very happy to take them up.
Okay,
chalo.
Take care.
Bye, man. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.